Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Anna.
I'm Joy.
And welcome to our Oscar Rewind series, where we'll be going through the Best Picture nominees from the 2012 Oscars and giving our thoughts on each of them. Today, we're discussing the war epic War Horse. Young Albert enlists to serve in World War I after his beloved horse is sold to the cavalry. Albert's hopeful journey takes him out of England and into the front lines as a war rages on. Starring Jeremy Irvine, Emily Watson, and David Thewlis. Written by Lee Hall, Richard Curtis, and Michael Morpurgo. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Sorry, Michael. directed by Steven Spielberg. Along with Best Picture, it was nominated for Original Score by John Williams, Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing, Best Art Direction, and Best Cinematography by Janusz Kaminski. This is War Horse. So, friends, what do we think of this movie?
I am very surprised by how much I liked it.
Okay.
I didn't think I was gonna, I don't know, I don't really like war movies, but fucking Steven Spielberg, he's good for a reason, and it's just so, like, visually pretty, and then it just, like, it hits on, like, very typical, like, emotional beats, but I still fell for them, so.
Right.
That's that.
Anna?
This movie and this story has a very special place in my heart. I saw the original Broadway production.
Oh! She has her playbill with her.
I have my playbill on my very first trip to New York.
What?
It had the Matt Doyle. And also Peter Herman, is that his name?
Yeah, handsome guy?
Yeah. I didn't know who he was at the time, but he was also in it. This production blew my mind. They used puppets for the horses, and the horses were majestic, and the people who are operating them created all of the noises, so it wasn't like a sound. It felt very organic and very real. And at one point we're sitting so the theater, it was at the Vivian Beaumont, and if you know that one, it comes all the way out and there's seats all the way around except for the back part. So it's like 3/4 in the round. So we were sitting at the end, my aunt had the end seat, and at one point the horse comes down the aisle right next to her and like leaps up and does a big neigh and then runs on stage, and we were just like awestruck. So then later that year, in December of that year, this movie came out and we went and saw it together. So I love this movie and I love this story. Crystal, what did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. It was basically one of those, like, a boy and his dog type of stories. So it really wasn't, like, much substance-wise there. But there was parts that looked really beautiful. I did laugh a couple times. I do like the unique take of it being, like, how the horse was the main character, like, his perspective. I would say it's pretty good. Comparative to all the mids we've been having, this is definitely not mid. But I don't know it'd be, like, the greatest movie ever either, so. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Oh, good. Nice.
Yeah, I watched it before Joy to give her timestamps for war scenes. And I was very surprised by how mild it was. I didn't remember that from my first watch through. But yeah, it was, there was no blood.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very family friendly war movie.
It is. Yeah, it is very family friendly. I halfway through, I was like, was this like a Hugo, also made for kids, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a kid movie year. Like, very interesting takes on that. The score was so beautiful, I have to say. Like, the score is so sweeping from the jump. And, you know, good old John Williams and Steven Spielberg team up. Always reliable and good.
I also recommend you check out the score for the play. Music was a big part of the play. Because the horses were so massive in scale, the set was very minimal. They had, like, a door that would come out, and they would use the door, just nothing around it. Very simple setting. But they had these two singers on stage who would kind of move this, who would sing some songs. But there was also just this beautiful, epic score. I think it might have been Tony nominated that year, but I suggest you listen to that, too. Very beautiful. And there was definitely, you could tell they were sisters. Like, listening to this score and that score, like, they fit well together, I think.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I think I really like the beginning sequence and the ending sequence that kind of, like bookmarked each other. Like, the beginning is the pastoral and everything's green and peaceful and beautiful. And then in the end, it's like the coming home, the silhouetted, it's a lot more harsh lighting. But the orange is still really bright. So I like those two kind of like bookmarking the beginning and the end. That was pretty.
I loved the beautiful framing of this film. Like, oh my God. Several times I was like, oh, that was gorgeous. Just again, framing. Like, it feels like such a simple thing to be able to do, but it's clear that our boy Steven has talent. Like, it's just, how? You're so amazing. Especially the one at the beginning where he's like looking through the fence, which they had a similar shot in West Side Story, but I can't remember exactly what it was. But I remember thinking, oh, I've seen that before.
Through the bleachers, I think.
Yeah. So good. Ugh, framing. I love it.
I think this was one of the first movies that my film brain was like, oh, this is cinematography. It's beautiful. It was like the first time that that registered as something separate.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it got nominated, I was like, yay, so excited. And I was very sad when it didn't win. Spoiler.
I still think that the one who won was great. But I mean, Tree of Life is right there. But all right.
Yeah, now that I've seen that.
Who won?
Hugo.
Oh, yeah.
That's not to say Hugo was bad, like we discussed. It's just like, I guess it depends on your taste. Like, what are you wanting? Something that's more natural, or are you wanting something that's, I don't know. I think it comes down to taste and preference at that point.
Yeah.
I also think with Hugo, it was kind of at the boom of the 3D, the beginning of it. And so to see that's it done true. So well, I think that was a big...
Yeah, because I can totally see people, like, critics or whoever watching in 3D going, oh my God, it's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. Go ahead, Joy.
That also plays into, like, the digital versus film kind of people that are like, oh, the grain of the film and the way film absorbs the light and things like that versus, like, people who are, like, digital. But, you know, I think at least for Hugo, I'm not like terribly mad at it because it was in the hands of a very skilled director who did it with intent and purpose versus someone who's just like doing 3D for the flashiness and for the bigness of it. Like it had purpose. Personally, I still would have picked Tree of Life. War Horse is a nice like a runner up on this too. But I still probably would have gone Tree of Life. But War Horse was like surprisingly. Like, I think it's just that Spielberg's eye is, like, so, like, he's done this for so long, and he's so trained, and he really, like, tries to find the best people for things. And him and what's his name? Janusz? Is that his name?
Janusz Kaminski.
Yeah, they've done so many movies together, and I feel like they have their conversation and their understanding of each other really helps with it as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you happen to know what else they've done?
I had it. I know they did. I'm pretty sure he did West Side Story.
Did he? I don't remember that name, but I could be wrong.
Hold on. Hold the phone.
I have it right here.
Tell me.
Schindler's List.
Yes, that one.
Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies. Okay. Okay.
Lincoln. The Post. West Side Story. Yeah. Oh, he was the director of photography.
Okay. Yeah. I knew they had something in West Side Story.
I don't remember his name at all. Okay. Another thing that was really gorgeous about this is the countryside. Oh my God. Those sweeping, beautiful, wide shots of like their land, and you see in their background like their mountains and other houses over here. Like, oh my God, nature. I will say though, like, when, hold on, I'm trying to find it here. When Alfred brings Joey home initially and he's telling his mom and dad, that scene, first of all, was hilarious because they had a duck and he was like serving jokes, loved him. But like all of that, it kind of looked like, maybe the coloring was a little bit off to me in my eyes, but like it looked like it was filmed on a soundstage with like a painted background. It kind of like, you know, like in Wizard of Oz where they were like, mm-hmm. in the trees and like everything's fake. That it kind of looked like that in little aspects. So I was like, is this on purpose? Am I broken? I don't know. But that scene was really funny. And I like how instead of a guard dog, they have a guard duck. Hilarious. He was given personality, Mr. Duck. I don't even know his name.
Best supporting actor.
Best supporting actor. And honestly, for realsies, Joey for best actor. Like, how did they get this?
Oh, yeah.
How? There's one scene where he's, like, looking back, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, he's telling a story with his horse eyes. I know we're jumping around, but, like, whenever the black horse, who I call Black Beauty, I forgot his name, was like, no, he can't pull. He's, like, old, and he can't do it. And then Joey, like, steps up, and he's like, I got you, bro. And so he's, like, the look back, he's like.
Yes. The look. Oh, my God.
Joey's serving. Oh, my God. Joey, the best actor. I'm so fucking serious. Sorry. I just gotta tell you guys.
We'll see him again in a few years when we watch Seabiscuit.
That was him,
too. Seabiscuit was nominated for Best Picture?
Seabiscuit
was nominated for Best Picture? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. Okay, then.
But real quick. Oh, two things. In the play, the duck is there, and there's also a bird, and the duck is like, on like a push thing, so whenever it's on a pole, so whenever they push it, its little wings flap, and it's very funny and it's so cute. But real quick on the editing, this is like one of the only films of Spielberg's to be edited digitally. He and his longtime editor Michael Kahn had decided to do it digitally. They hated it and they went back to doing it their other way.
Yeah,
so that was interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it's I could definitely, I don't know why in my head I can like picture him being like, all right, let's try it. And then he's like, nah, I hate it. Scrap it. And like, go back to what they normally did. Cause like, I mean, if you already know it and you know how to do it well, you want to learn a new skill. Okay. Maybe for like another movie that would work better. But I think for this movie his like routine works just fine.
It makes me wonder if it was a timing thing because he also had Tintin come out this year.
Oh, he was busy.
Yeah, so I wonder if he was also like, let's try this one digitally because maybe it'll go faster.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me making up shit.
Call him up. Call him up. See, what's he doing? What's our guy doing?
Hey, Steven. We have some questions, Stevie.
We have
Can you questions. Imagine being like blessed enough to like interview him about movies? Like, I feel like that just would like rock my world. Like, holy
I honestly feel like he's cool enough that he just like would just talk to you about movies. Cause we've talked about this before with him. Like, he's such a fanboy And mm-hmm. but not in an annoying way, like an appreciative way and like a learning way. Like he's still, how old is he? Like he's 85 or something like that. He's an old guy, but yet he is still wanting to learn. And that says a lot about him as a person.
If yeah. Right.
So I learned, because they kept saying like 12 guineas. I was like, what's a guinea? So I looked it up and it's a coin that was minted in Great Britain between 1663 and 1814. And it was called that because it came from, like, West Africa.
New Guinea. Like
So it was, it's from West Africa, where much of the gold used in the coins was sourced. So that's why they called it a guinea. I never heard that before. I was like, what's it? Because I've heard, like, shillings and, like, other things. It's a form of payment, but I've never heard a guinea before. I guess I didn't pay attention. But, yeah.
Interesting. Steven Spielberg is 77.
Wait, I have 76.
Oh, well, I guess he'll turn 77 this year. I just did the year.
Yeah, he's turning 77.
Old man, all the same.
But oh my God, it's December 18.
He's a Sag.
Sagittarius. That's why he's so talented.
Okay. whenever y'all say shit like that, makes me think of that video. It's like, oh, I'm a. Damn it, I'm gonna mess it up.
It's a TikTok, yeah.
I'm a grilled cheese rising, so that's why I act like that, you know? Like, so stupid.
You're right, though.
So, right before they go into battle, Benedict Cumberbatch and
Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston, thank you. Jude Law popped in my head and I couldn't get it out.
Yeah, I see.
He was like, it's going to be okay. We're going to go in and it's going to be fine. my note says, and dear viewers, it was not fine. See, all quiet on the Western Front. Yes. It's so funny to think that those movies are about the same war and the same moment in history. And they're so different. Obviously told from opposite sides of the war.
I think we've seen a lot of movies about this. Maybe not this particular, this particular war.
Yeah.
Especially in regards to the podcast. I think we've seen a lot.
I mean, there's like a whole, like, there's an entire British genre devoted to just these movies. Like, World War One and World War Two. That's like a whole genre of film for England, for like
Great Britain. I think it was just that we watched them in the same year and I read it this year, that it's just like so present in my mind. But there was some beautiful shots, and I'm sure you have a whole list.
I do have a list.
I have a few that I also wrote down.
Yeah, let's go. Give them to me.
The first one I wrote was all of them getting up on the horses in the wheat field.
Me too. I have that too.
That blew my mind. Good. It was so
them
cool.
Getting getting on the horses, and also the shot of them on the horses, like both.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the framing. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Good. I hated the shot of all the dead horses. That killed me. But then I loved the way he used the windmill during the execution scene.
Oh my God.
Yes, very good.
Oh my God. It was so good. And it was a perfect way to make it like PG-13, keep it PG-13.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. It was just, I hate to say that was, I mean, it's a terrible thing that was happening, but it was done in such a like mature and like respectful almost way, where it was more like, you know, we don't have to see it. You know what's happening. We're smart enough. He's given us enough information. He's just gonna let it pass. Like, wow. Wow.
It was inspired because like most people would just have like us hear it off screen or like focus maybe on the shooter, but like just again inspired the way perfect. So good.
I loved it. I rewound it and watched it like 2 times because I was just like, it's so perfect.
Yeah.
And then of course Joey running through the trenches.
Yeah, very good. Fantastic.
That lighting, the bombs going off in the background.
Fantastic. Like I call them fireworks in my notes.
guys.
But they were bombed, yeah.
That's so sweet.
I mean, we just passed 4th of July. But...
I mean, they might have been fireworks, like, in production, but, like, in the story. Whatever. No, yeah, that was really great. It was reminiscent of, I talk about all the time, 1917, where Homeboy is running across the field. Not as dramatic, I feel, but, like, right. definitely giving the same type of vibes. Like, though his hair is blowing in the wind. Again, Joy was acting. Joy mm-hmm. was giving me all these emotions. I'm sorry, Anna, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they used rubber barbed wire, so it wasn't like he wasn't actually tangled up in anything harmful.
Oh, yeah.
And then they only used, I believe he said, like, 2 shots of special effects of...
Three. There was only 3. And they
was it 3?
3, and they were less than, like, 5 seconds long each.
Wow. Yeah, he said the few were just to protect the horse so he wouldn't get harmed.
Yeah.
Again, this man is so good. Jeez.
But I'm watching this war film, and he's, you know, the bombs are going off in the background, and all these things are happening, and I'm thinking of that little boy making films out in the desert.
Yeah,
me too! Stepping on things to make it look like it exploded behind them. I was like, it's come far!
It weirdly made me like the Fablemans more.
Yeah!
Kind of like, Fablemans, I hate this mom, blah, 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 all that. But I was like, oh, I get you a little bit more, Steven. Like, I feel like...
Like we know him.
We connect better. Yeah, like, it oddly made me like that movie more. Are you done with your shot list? Because I have one.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a shot, but it was like more, it was a transition. So whenever Emily Watson, I kept calling her Emma Watson, but I know it's different. Emily Watson, whenever she was showing, what's the Albert, like his dad's scarf, they transitioned looking at the scarf to him in the field trying to plow. Like the lines of the scarf match to the match. The lines of the scarf match the lines of the field. And I was like, wow. I literally went, nice.
Yeah. There was some really
I'm so proud of you, Steven Spielberg. So proud of you. That was real good.
I feel like we're friends now. Like we know him. Like
right? He
basically like exposed his entire childhood trauma to us. So I feel like we're bonded.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We connected.
I think I finally get I've liked him before, but I think the more we do these and the more that I develop a film brain, I like see him on a different level almost.
Yeah.
Because I've always loved him because of like the blockbusters that I've watched because of his. But now I'm like unlocking a new level of appreciation for him. So I think
I feel like he's been just a name for so long. Yeah. Like, Steven Spielberg. Because he's such a household name that even non-movie viewers, like movie lovers, know who he is.
Yeah.
So when you see it, you expect it to be good. But now that we're like looking at them and talking about them, it's like, no, dude is on another level.
Yeah
for sure.
Deserved.
And I don't want to jinx anything, but like I don't see like anything bad about him as far as a person come out, anything. Like he's a shitty director to work with. Like he seems like a real genuinely good guy, so that's nice to hear.
You got my
Oh, no, that's because though basically I had the same ones Anna did, but I wanted to add the one about the scarf.
I've got a couple more. There was one like shot transition where he does that thing where the camera's on a swivel. It's where the dad's going to try to shoot the horse, but like Albert and his mom are trying to stop him. So it goes from gun to horse, pull away, and the camera's on Emily Watson. And then it pulls back and his son is right there in front.
Yeah.
And it was such a quick, so fast. And it like, just the fact that they didn't cut and they just like swiveled. It was just so smooth, so nice, but still so jarring at the same time when you come back and it's the son.
Yeah. Cause it kind of mimics the way like you would turn your head really quickly. Like,
yeah, the way you,
like, I love that. Like, love a, that.
A instinctual movement. Yeah. That was the nice. Nice. Like, not nice what's happening, but it's just a good good shot. Where is it? The shot of the boys. Yeah, the windmill. We already did that. The reflection on Joey's eyes when there's a close-up and it's his giant eyeball. And I think it's the little French girl that was lovely. Lovely, lovely. And I know that shot's been done a million times before with other films, but doing it with a horse and doing it for this, it much better. And Steven Spielberg did it, so it was great. So it was wonderful.
Yep.
Where else? Oh my God, where else is it? Sorry. One moment. Hold, please. Okay, I guess that's it. I thought I had more. No. Oh, yeah. Okay, so when the editing is cutting from every soldier's face with all the bombs flashing in their face, that one, one after another, that little sequence there of everybody's reaction, everybody having kind of like a different reaction, like shock, but their emotions reading on their face, good acting, and also like good editing and a really great sequence there.
I also really loved the shot of the gas coming and taking like his friend being in it. Heartbreaking, but it was so cool like to watch him disappear.
Yeah.
That was really well done.
Yeah. And again, just like the fact that this is like practical effects, everything is like they figured out a way to do these stunts. They figured out a way to and literally in person, in camera. It's crazy. Just in general, not necessarily just the shots, but just the whole scene, the whole sequence of them, the two soldiers on opposite sides freeing Joey from the barbed wire. It was just such a beautiful bonding moment of like where there's like a truce, like the even like the lighting eases up a little bit. It, you know, it starts, I think it's like dawn, like the sun is rising, or it's like softens up a little bit, and it's just such a like beautiful few moments. It makes it like grounds you back in reality. It's beautiful, it's touching, it's very human, like they're even like joking with each other. That whole sequence is just great. And then of course at the end, the silhouette, every single shot that was orange at the very end, him, especially the one where he's like walking across the screen way far in the distance on Joey, and he's just like trying to go up the hill. Oh my God, it's beautiful, it's immaculate, talented, brilliant, amazing, all of it. When his like mom is like coming up to him and you see the silhouette of them like hugging, and then his dad giving him back the thing, just all of that, everything that was in orange, it was perfect. It was so good. All right.
Joy, did you recognize his friend?
I thought he looked familiar. Who is he?
He was Albert from Downton Abbey.
Oh, Albert!
He was the one that was like, oh, I don't know if I can go to school or whatever. And it's just Pat Mala's like, no, you can go to school. Like,
because
he's like, I think he wants to be like a chef or something. And he's like, oh, I'm like rubbish at numbers. And she's like, everyone is rubbish at numbers. Just go. I think he left in like season 2 or 1 or I don't know, whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, he was only on there for a little bit, but no, he was so cute. Oh, yeah. Oh, in the beginning, okay, so, like, the movie started, and I was, like, kind of disappointed, because for some reason I thought this was the one with Jack O'Connell, but I think that movie was more recent, the, like, other Jack World O'Connell War movie.
With a horse?
I guess it didn't have a horse in it, but he was in a World War One or Two movie, and I really thought it was going to be Jack O'Connell. Honestly, I did not know anything about this War Horse movie coming into it. So I thought it was going to be him. And then I was like sad. I was like, this is not Jack O'Connell, but it was still fine. Cause the kid, the guy who played Albert he was still good. So it was okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think that he maybe like 20.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah. Recently, maybe in the
it
last.
It was like strength or something. It was like one word. Strength.
Unbroken.
Unbroken. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, something like that.
I was gonna say strong.
For some reason, was Brad Pitt in that too?
Brad Pitt? Like, I don't know.
So. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was an Angelina Jolie movie too.
I don't.
That was 2014.
2014. Okay, way further away. What the hell is that, Brad Pitt?
You said that before. I don't know if in real life or on the podcast, but it always makes me laugh so much. Yeah, we'd still see Brad Pitt.
When I say his name, it's just, it's like perfect alignment of all the sounds. It just comes out.
It's like when I say Brit.
Brit. Oh, it also has my husband, Donald Gleason.
Donald Gleason? Oh, not
oh
in this.
Oh, my God. Movie. Oh, he wasn't in this movie. I was confused.
No, the other one. But it was directed by Angelina Jolie.
That one.
Directed
okay.
by her. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I do remember that.
That one clicks down.
You know what? Whenever, I thought it was really impressive of whenever Joey meets those young German soldiers and one of them's like 14 and then the older brother. I'm very impressed by that older brother being able to pick up the younger brother like with his one hand onto the horse. I was like, that's very impressive, Olympics. You should go for he's gonna compete now. But he should
like it in the moment of like adrenaline, you're like trying to save your brother's life.
That's a good point. That's a,
like you know, I mean, like when they tell you like in emergency situations, if you're like a parent or whatever, well, the instinct will kick in. You just like have to save them, and all of a sudden can like flip a car or something. But yeah, but that was really cool though. And also it was very interesting that like they just told the soldiers, okay, just get back in line. Like ignore that. Just like keep going. Like, okay, a disruption, but things are more important that they can't focus
also,
on.
Also, cause they're like, that's not our like.
None of our business.
Yeah. They'll find them later. Like, well, that's tomorrow's problem or whatever.
Yeah.
The first time that I was all dude, I was like, well, aren't they like, don't they hear him running to the horse? What's the, and then I was like, oh, okay. They're focused. They have a job to do.
As we get back into these, like as we go further and further back into the Oscars, I'm bringing back my favorite game, which is how many minutes have to pass until we see a person of color?
Yeah, okay. Have you done these with the other ones or just this one?
I didn't do it with a lot of the, I think like the one in Hawaii, there was Hawaiian people, although they didn't have lines. There was actual native Hawaiians.
The one with Hawaii in it.
Not just like white people born in Hawaii. But we made it 54 minutes before seeing an actual person of color in this film. Wow.
Where were they? I didn't even see them.
It was the man of Indian descent who was part of the...
Oh, right.
With Tom Hiddleston and Banana Cucumber.
Benny Batch?
Yes. Which, I feel like he's in all of these British war movies. Like, he just can't avoid, like, one...
You've seen him in two already, so yeah, all of them.
A period piece or a war movie. I feel like, wasn't he in 1917? And he was in that other one?
The Imitation Game, but technically
that's not
there
a war
was
movie.
No war.
Period. Oh, he wasn't fighting in the war, but there was.
Yeah,
war.
Yeah.
He was fighting the war of himself.
His face just feels very old timey. Like not, it's not a.
yeah, he fits in.
He's not a. He does not have a modern looking face. Like you can tell that is, for you know all the pros and cons. That's a very like, only English. Line of people. Like they've never been mixed in with anything else. It's only British people can make that face.
And then
what?
At the end we get our Sir Davos.
I saw him. I love it.
In a reverse The Little Princess moment where it's not him who's blind and shouting for Sarah.
Oh my god, that is him in Little Princess. I completely forgot.
Albert blinded, shouted, calling for Joey.
How did I not? Oh my god. You just blew my brain.
I will never forget when I learned that. It was like towards the end of Game of Thrones, and I was like, holy shit, that's him.
You know, that would explain why he felt familiar, but I never knew from what. I'm like, well, how do I feel like I know this man?
He's one of those that has done so much.
Yeah.
But he was never like at the forefront.
And he should, because he's great.
He is great. I want to see him in more stuff because he's just such a good actor. And like, he's really like Davos's chapters in the books are some of my favorite because they're just like most of everybody in the Game of Thrones books are like highborn or like royals or whatever. But his is actually from the perspective of like a regular lower class person. What's his name? Liam.
Cunningham.
I was going to say Cumberbatch. I was like, wrong one. Liam Cunningham. He's just so good. He's so good in everything. So I'd like to see him more.
You played your game about how long does it take to see a person of color. Did you do it in Hugo?
No, I didn't. I forgot. But okay. I know there was only like one, right?
I did you do it in Midnight in Paris?
Emily in Paris?
Did you do it in Emily in Paris? Or oh my god. Did you do it in Midnight in Paris?
Midnight in Paris, I think it was like zero. I think, yes, no, I did. I did for Midnight in Paris because Josephine Baker pops up for like a split second.
That's right. Okay.
But they don't give her lines and she has no story and she's just in the background.
Right.
Yes. So now that we're going back into movies without any, you know, without any foundation in real life, also. Because who the fuck doesn't have, like, I mean, even if you're white, like, how do you not have, like, friends of any other, like, ethnicity or culture?
Just stop
or...
there. If you're white, how do you?
How dare you?
How do you? Yeah. How do you not? How do you not? It just, come on.
We're how do you? Why do you? Who do you?
All the questions.
Just who, what, when, where, and why? All of them. Answer, please. Anyway, so I got to remember, but I'll keep doing it now. I'm excited for my game to come back. I'm going to see. I'm sure as we get, you know, further back, there's going to be movies where there's none. But which is sad. Maybe I should keep a count. I should keep a track of how many.
I'm surprised you don't, actually.
I'm going to start doing stats just for this, because this is important to me. I'm not going
to
keep track.
It's important to us too. Don't make it sound like we don't care.
No. But I mean, like, I am not going to keep track of anything else in my life except for how long a movie director to put a person of color, a character of color in a movie.
The people need to know. It's educational purposes.
They do. Yeah.
So later on, when that whole sequence where he is walking through the crowd, Albert, and he's like, oh, is that you, Joey, or whatever? They're helping him along. I thought that was really, really nice. But... before that, he has like a picture, like the drawing of the, I don't know. I felt like that was kind of corny. Like, you don't have your family, you just have the horse. Okay, that's interesting. Sure. It's giving my octopus teacher, but okay. And I felt like, I don't know, part of me was like, this is so corny. The whole just like, he has white socks clearing his feet. I don't know. I'm just like, I get what's happening here and I get what they're doing, but it just felt so like Cornball Central to me.
It's like you said, it's like a boy and his dog movie.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with those, but it just, I don't know, I felt like I should have been eating cheese or eating corn or something. I don't know.
Did I end this movie sobbing, holding on to my dog, saying I love you, I love you, I love you? Yes, I did.
Oh my God.
I don't like the plot twist of it being the grandpa that won the Oct. That was like a million coins?
100.
A hundred guinea or whatever.
100 guineas, yeah.
Like, who is that? And then the parts and it's the grandpa.
The drama.
And then he says, the horse is all I have left. What happened to the granddaughter?
I know.
She was sick.
Yeah,
did I missed that?
When he the medicine that he gives her.
Oh, yeah.
And why she wasn't allowed to, like, get on the horse
right,
and stuff.
That's right. Okay. But still.
She was sickly.
Oh, it's so sad.
And then after they took everything, I'm sure it was just harder for them.
Yeah. God, that's awful. And I know that happened in real life, but I just. I mean, other than, like, the killings and all that, it just felt like a children's film. It felt like a children's movie.
I feel like. It's a good like you know how they made us watch movies in history class or whatever?
That's exactly the same note I have.
It feels like that. It feels like you can show this to kids and be like, this is what happened during World War I, but in a way that they could still empathize and process it without like scaring them too much.
Yeah.
That's very much like a late elementary school, early junior high kind of movie.
That does remind exactly my exact note, because I was like, this feels like I've seen something like this in. Do you remember any movies that y'all saw in school?
Fucking Forrest Gump, like a million times.
Really?
Yeah. They made us watch
that
Forrest Gump.
That feels wildly inappropriate.
Yeah, well, because it had so much, like, history in it. So we watched it in our history class. And that tells you all you need to know about the American education system, public education system. Is that
I learned how many times?
Beer of Forrest Gump. Well, whenever there was like a sub or something, that was like one of the movies they would just play. Just be like, oh, you know, JFK and the war and Vietnam and stuff.
We would watch Ice Age.
Ice Age?
I've seen Ice Age and then during Christmas, Elf 100 million times.
That's really
No, we watched The Patriot in the fifth grade. We had to get a permission slip signed, so it's technically rated R. I remember watching The Patriot with Mel Gibson. I remember watching
Wind Talkers with Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
Some war, and I believe they're using Native Americans to help translate. I don't exactly remember, but we saw that. I saw Of Mice and Men. Was it Of Mice and Men?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that the one with Johnny? Not Johnny. Damn it. John Malkovich or something?
Yeah. Okay. We read and watched that one in high school.
Well, I never
saw it. And then I watched The Outsiders from the 80s with like all the young.
No.
Like.
I skipped that one. I went from AP to non-AP, and so I never read that one.
What's funny, because I don't really remember reading them, but I remember watching them more than anything.
Yeah. I remember in science watching Gattaca.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
That one was interesting.
We just watched a lot of Bill Nye in our biology class, because that's how we learned.
Boo, boo, boo. Love that man. He used to have it show on Netflix a couple years back, and back when I worked out, I would watch it while I was on the treadmill. I was like, oh my God, I'm like working my brain, working my legs. Let's go. I just rot my brain and rot my legs, so it's fine. I'm becoming the people in WALL-E. Slowly.
Oh no. I remember that when Chronicles of Narnia came out, we were reading the book, so we read it. We had like an in-class thing where like the teacher brought like Turkish Delight and whatever, and then we did a field trip see it in the movies.
Aww. Yeah. You had a field trip? Like, how big was your class?
Our field trip was going to the movies. Like, the whole grade went to the movie to go
watch. That's fucking cool.
Hmm.
I didn't do that shit. I do remember reading A Wrinkle in Time and shortly after the movie came out. And I was like, oh my God. And then same with Tuck Everlasting. I loved the book. And then it came out in theaters and I was like, oh my God, I just read this.
Yeah. I love Tuck Everlasting was the first book in school that I fell in love with. And we were just talking about him being my first book crush.
Really?
One of my first book crushes. Oh, I loved Jesse Tuck.
I was so intrigued by just the idea of that book, how like a fountain of youth, and would you want to live forever? And I thought, yeah, but also like everyone around me dies eventually. Like, yeah, I remember being just so intrigued by the concept, even that young of age. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh my God, this is so interesting. Same concept, but not very different as The Old Guard. If you haven't seen that movie, please watch that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And read the comic. It's actually very good.
Wait, you read the comic? You have it?
I own it. I have the first issue one.
I need to
bought it because when we watched it, Anna, or Joy, I was obsessed. So I was at Target and happened to be there. I was like, oh, okay. Yoink. So I have it. I own it.
When I come to you next, I'm reading it.
Like bedtime stories.
Wait, bring it to the beach. I'm going to read it on the beach.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Cute.
What else?
Any last notes that you have?
I feel like putting animals in war is definitely animal cruelty. They didn't ask for this. It feels the same way like the police dogs. They didn't ask to be police. They don't know what they're doing. They didn't get a choice. Now they're on like bomb squads and shit. That's not their fault.
I did write as like animals can bring out the humanity in just about anyone. There's definitely those it doesn't work for, but like you see Joey bring out the humanity in all sides of the war and at both sides at the same time. So I just animals.
What's his name? Tom Hiddleston? Why was he so pretty in this? Why is he so pretty? Why did he just look
because
so
he is so pretty.
Cleaned up and his eyes were sparkling and his lashes looked great and like he just his like gentle smile. I was like, what? Why do you look? This is not. Why are you looking cute? This is
because he is handsome. Get on the train, girl.
I forgot that he was this cute. I was like, oh, okay. I remember. I see it again. I got it. Forgot temporarily.
One of my notes is I wonder because back in those days they didn't have, you know, cameras as easily accessible to them. So was everyone just overall better at drawing? I wonder.
There were people who, like, specifically had the job of, like, drawing, you know, to, like, people's portraits. Because in those days, like, photographs were still fairly new. And
that's what I mean,
you could do it, but it was, you know, it was like once a year family portrait or whatever. So
no, I just mean like in general, like were people just better at draw? Because I can't draw for shit, right? I draw stick figures, maybe, but like if I wonder if I didn't have also because like their form of entertainment was much more just like doing things rather than seeing things, I feel more right. at the time. So I wonder if they had developed skills that like we don't have anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think they were just because that was an important skill to have, I think they invested more time and practice into it. So like it is something that you can learn if you have the time and the resources to be able to practice it. But like, you know, that's not really an investment anymore. So, you know, back then it was.
I guess I like the idea of like overall a room just being better at drawing. Like Pictionary, they would have smashed a Pictionary. Do you know what I mean? Like what's the one in Jackbox where it's like you have to do the picture? Drawful? They would have killed
it. Oh, I love those. I love that.
They would have killed. I love it. I like when the little girl was like talking about, she's like, oh yeah, this girl doesn't like me at school. Oh, this girl who has your teeth. I'm talking to Joey. I was like, yes, tell her.
I love her. I love how she kept herself entertained that way. That was her friend. I can't see David Thewlis, however you pronounce his last name, and not think of Remus. But always and forever, because that's how my introduction to him. But I do love that he has the range that, like, I can hate him because he's a disgusting landlord in this and he's predatory and gross. But, like, he has the range to be, like, such a character that I love. But he can also be, like, a really good bad guy. So I like that. I don't like it that he's a bad guy in this, but I like that he has the range. It's just a nice little reminder.
I agree. He will always be my Remus.
I was going through my fanfiction account and I remember that I had saved one of him, a fic of him and Sirius, and I have to go back and read what I saved a million years ago and see if it's still as good as I thought it was. All right. Categories. See?
Yeah. Do we think it should be Best Picture?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It wasn't bad, especially compared to the mid, mm-hmm. the year that is mid. So, yeah, sure. Steven Spielberg is kind of a staple in the Best Picture category. What do we think of the score? Do you think it should be here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It fit the story well.
I thought it was fine. I honestly thought that... The Tree of Life and Everything Everywhere.
extremely loud
and Incredibly Close were better. And I would have replaced it with either one of those. But I think of the ones that we've watched, I'd go with Hugo. Okay, and then the next is sound editing, since we know all the sound editing criterias.
It's a war movie.
Was it better than Hugo? Which one?
Ooh.
I would say no, because I really remember, and I don't remember anything, the sounds of the clock ticking. I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. So I think I would agree Hugo was the right winner.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll trust you.
Sound mixing. Oh, wait. But maybe that's sound mixing that the clock is ticking. Now I don't know.
The sounds. The sound categories. Yes. Good job, sound.
Sorry, sound people. I don't know your job very well. Best art direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of art direction. There was a lot of work to be done here. Who else was in the category?
Hugo, your mom. Artist, Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2, Midnight in Paris.
Look, what I will say for Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part 2 is that it took a setting that we all know and love so well and, like, flipped it on its head and destroyed it. And there was so much happening at Hogwarts during that final battle. Like, all of the crumbling brick and everything being destroyed. That art direction, I thought, was really great. What else was there? There was
Hugo the Artist, Midnight in Paris, and Warhorse.
Hugo, I think, was also really great.
Yeah, I think it Hugo won. Had a lot of little details.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I think pending rewatching The Artist, we'll see how I feel about that afterwards.
I just think of the library in Hugo, and I really, really loved how gorgeous that was.
Mm-hmm.
And the next is cinematography.
Yes.
Should definitely be here.
Yeah, I think it should be there too. So Hugo was the winner. Do you think it was better than Hugo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As of right now, because I can, maybe it's because I like watched that more recently than Hugo. Hugo was like, I feel like months ago now. but I think that I couldn't keep up a shot list as well as easily as I could in Hugo because there were so many in this one. It just would have been like pages long. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably pick this one over Hugo. But overall, I'd say The Tree of Life.
Girl, same.
I think I'm veering that way as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have our ranking.
Yes.
We do, darling. We do.
Okay. Crystal. Oh, another note. Sorry. Another note that I meant to say that was Joey volunteered as tribute. Because he did.
That was so sweet. Legit was going to like cry at that part. I did cry at the end though. I did. The emotional beats are predictable, but they still get me. Like, every once in a while, I just fall for that shit.
Sometimes, cute. Because they work.
Also, it also helps that, like, we're all babies here.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to make a sob.
I mean, I didn't cry, but, like, I cried other shit, so it's not like it's unheard of.
Yeah.
Rocket's just laying on the couch like, woman, leave me alone. And I'm like, ugh. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
All right, who's going first? Okay, me. Okay, so number 8, I have Moneyball. Number 7, Midnight in Paris. Number 6, The Descendants. Number 5, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Number 4, The Help. Number 3 is where I have War Horse. Number 2 is Hugo, and the one is the Tree of Life. With Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. I wonder who else's name I say like that. Wait, is Brad Pitt, is he from Texas or Oklahoma or something?
I don't know.
Isn't he from Oklahoma? See.
He's from Anna's Dreams, probably.
Yeah. My Nightmares.
I'll keep him forever.
My Nightmares.
I'm anti-Brad Pitt now.
So he's a dad to me.
Yeah, he was born in Shawnee, Oklahoma. That's and raised in Springfield, Missouri.
Missouri. Whenever I hear Missouri, I just think sharp objects. Is that where that was? Wait, am I thinking Gone Girl? Just kidding, it was Gone Girl.
I mean, same... universe-ish?
The same author, so, you know, similar universes.
Oh, that's right, it's the same author.
I love Jillian.
Where the fuck has she been?
Right. I need her to make more. Shit. I love her.
I need more books.
I need more shows.
I think, I forgot which one I told you this, but I think I want to rewatch Shopper Objects just because it was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good.
And everybody forgets it all the time. So I've been wanting to rewatch it, but, I have to, like, work up the courage to want to, you know, push through that.
Hello, everyone listening to this, whoever you are. Watch Sharp Objects if you haven't. And if you have, watch it again. It's that good.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Is someone else with their rankings?
Oh, shit. Yeah. My bad. Okay, I'll go. Number is 8? 8? 8 of these? Okay. Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. Then Midnight in Paris. Then Moneyball. The Descendants. Hugo, The Help, War Horse, and Tree of Life.
Okay, number two.
Crystal and I have very similar. I think only the bottom two are different. I have number 8, Midnight in Paris. Number 7, Moneyball. Number 6, Descendants. 5, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Number 4 is The Help. 3 is War Horse. 2 is Tree of Life. And 1 is Hugo.
Interesting.
Okay, okay.
Wow. I like that it's mixing it up now. We got some spice in here. It's a variety in the flavor now. I'd love them. We don't have the same list. I love it.
I have a feeling the longer we go into this, the past, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really, oh, I'm so excited. It's so fun.
I did tell Anna, I was like, so when we eventually get there 30 years from now, I will attempt to watch a scary movie if it's nominated. I don't know if I can get through it, but I will try. And I will, it has to be with Anna there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be by myself, you know.
Which, she's handling Scream very well.
Ah,
that's Scream so cool. Is great. Like, it's I'm so scary. Surprised that I actually enjoy it. I'm actually laughing. I'm like, ah, bitch! Like, it's all good.
Okay, so you're in...
finished Scream 4.
You're in luck. There's only 6 movies to be nominated for Best Picture that are considered horror films.
Okay, all right.
Get Out, you've already watched.
Yes!
Black Swan is next year, you've already watched.
That one is very good.
I love that movie.
The Sixth Sense in 1999, so you've got time.
I've seen that too!
That's not that scary.
I've seen that!
Silence of the Lambs in 1991.
Ooh, that's going to be
It's so good. It's not that scary.
I still want to watch it with you, though.
Your film...
Yeah.
Okay.
Your film brain will take over before your scary brain takes over.
Okay.
75, we have Jaws.
Yeah.
Okay, 73 is The Exorcist, so you have so much time.
Literally
decades. We'll never get there.
I'm not going to be able to watch The Exorcist either. I'm going to have to tap out. It's going to be a one-woman show.
I think it's because it's so old, you'll be able to see, like, it's not as scary because it's older. I think. I'll still guide you. Hopefully,
I'm dead before then, but I don't know. We'll see.
It's literally going to take us 40 years to get there, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm pushing 80, so who knows?
Yeah, not that
bad. Yeah, that was our episode. Any last notes, any final words on War Horse? Joey?
I'm anti-war, but pro-horse.
That should be your Letterboxd review.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta go fill it in.
Do that.
I just sent you guys my picture with Matt Doyle from War Horse.
Oh, you're so cute!
Can we post
this, please, with the podcast?
Yeah, that's why I sent it. He put his arm around me, and I was like, I'm never washing this sweater again.
You look so young.
You're such a baby.
I had just graduated high school. And there wasn't, like, a real stage door. So they were all, like, there was us and then another group from another big group of, it was, like, a big family. They were from Texas as well. So they came out, they're like, oh, there's people here. They weren't expecting it. And so they all took pictures with us.
Are you Anna? Oh, my God.
And if you look in the background, you can see Peter Herman.
Oh, wait, let me see. Really? Oh, my God.
Shit, I forgot him. Wearing mascara.
He's so handsome.
The guy from Younger.
Herman Monster? Is that his
name? He's the husband of Mariska Hargitay. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, he's so handsome, even in the background. Stupid face. Wow.
I think he was either the Benedict Cumberbatch or Tom Hiddleston character.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You didn't meet the horse? The horse didn't stage door? Joey didn't stage door?
Joey did not. I'm sure the people who operated him did, but you couldn't see them underneath him, so. No.
So, yeah.
Oh, no. Thanks. Peter Herman played the priest. which I guess wasn't in the movie. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Also suggest you look up the play and, like, the making of the puppets. Sorry, I'm done.
Do you have the links for those?
I saw that.
Wait, I mean, that's more the broader production, not the movie, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was just, it's so cool. The puppets are my favorite thing in the world. That's it. Okay. Wrap us up, Crystal.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We have thoughts. If you enjoy hanging out with us, please like and subscribe and talk to us on Twitter. We have thoughts 3, and we'll see you next week for The Artist.
Woo.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.